This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. Inshallah, today we will begin from page number 75. So alhamdulillah, we have covered belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and attributes and the different aspects of that. And then we also learned about Iman bil-Akhirah as well as Iman bil-Qadr. Now, you might wonder how come Iman bil-Rusul is not mentioned and how come Iman bil-Malaika is not mentioned. As we read early on in the book, that was mentioned. Meaning, the details were not mentioned, but it was stated that the Ahlu Sunnah do believe in the angels as well as the messengers. But in this book, what has been the focus? That the doubts or the misconceptions that people have concerning belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or concerning Al-Qadr or the divisions that occurred in the Ummah, they have basically been resolved over here. All right? So with respect to the angels, if you believe in the unseen, it's understood. All right? Likewise, belief in the messengers, mainly, the belief is concerning who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the time of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, there was no, you know, argument about this. No dispute about this matter. However, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the Akhirah, as well as belief in Al-Qadr. These matters were highly disputed. Alright? And today, inshallah, we are going to study the belief of Ahlul Sunnah with respect to the companions. What is their position concerning the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ? Because this was also a matter over which the Ummah became divided. As you know these days, what is the main split between the Ummah? The Sunni versus the Shia. And one of the major differences is their belief concerning the companions, the Sahaba. So, al-wajibu, what is mandatory, nahwa, towards, meaning regarding, أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, وذكر فضائلهم, and the mention of their virtues. Meaning, what should our perspective be, what should our position be with regards to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? What should we think about them? What should be our attitude towards them? What is it that we should believe about the companions? The question is that, who are the companions? Who are the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ashab is a plural of sahib. And who is sahib? The one who has had suhbah. Meaning the one who has been in the companionship of another. And there is always some similarity, some resemblance, or you can say some friendships. It's a positive companionship. Alright? So, a sahabi is the one who got the privilege of the suhbah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this suhbah, this companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was how? With iman. Did Abu Lahab see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes. Abdullah ibn Ubay, did he spend time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, he went actually towards Uhud and came back. Didn't he? He even went to many other expeditions. But that was not suhbah. Why? Because it was without iman. So a sahabi is the one who has had the privilege of being with the Prophet ﷺ in a state of iman. And he also died upon that iman. Meaning he died in that state as well. Now the question is, who are these people? Who are the sahaba? They are those who saw the Prophet ﷺ, those who learned from him directly, those who obeyed his teachings, and those who offered great sacrifices along with him for the sake of this deen, for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? They gave up their properties, they sacrificed their lives, they left their families, their homes, their countries. Why? For the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst them are the muhajireen as well as the ansar. Who are the muhajireen? Those who did hijrah. Those who were originally from Mecca. But they left their homes, they left their city, they left their businesses, they left their families. Why? In order to be with the Prophet ﷺ, where? in Mecca in order to follow, in order to observe the religion of Allah. And who are the Ansar? Those who helped them and took them in. Those who basically shared their properties and their homes with who? Those who came to Medina, meaning the Muhajireen. And in doing that, they actually put their lives in danger. They actually put their well-being at risk in order to shelter and support the Muhajireen. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba are those people at whose hands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the religion of Islam. He gave them, through their hands, many, many conquests. If you think about it, Islam became ghalib, became dominant. It became established. In whose time? In whose life? The companions of the Prophet ﷺ. That is when the religion of Allah became dominant, through these people. So these people, these amazing people, who made such huge sacrifices, should we think about what we are supposed to feel about them and think about them? I mean, is this important to us, what we believe concerning them? Should it be important to us? Or should we be indifferent towards them? They lived their lives, now their lives are over, it's history. Does that history matter to us? Are we affected by that? Yes, definitely. So this means that Sahaba have certain huquq. They have certain rights because they were the best of men. Right? Because if you think about it, first and foremost, whose haqq is it that we have to give? Allah's haqq. Right? And then after huququllah, what is important? Huququl ibad, the rights of the servants. And amongst the servants, as believers, with respect to iman, the greatest right is of who? The Prophet ﷺ. As believers, with respect to iman, the greatest right is of who? The Prophet ﷺ. After him, of course, all the prophets, and then, who's next? The Sahaba. The companions. Why? Because they were who? As-Siddiqeen. Isn't it? Who is mentioned first? Nabiyyin, the prophets, and then As-Siddiqeen. And the Sahaba are the Siddiqeen. Why? Because they were the ones who sought the truth. They were the ones who accepted the truth, who adhered to it, who supported it, who spread it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, yes, he was Siddiq, but Umar radiallahu anhu, was he not Siddiq as well? Of course he was. All of the companions. Because holding on to Islam at that time was what? It was the most difficult thing. It was asking for trouble. So only someone who was convinced about the truth of Islam could actually adhere to Islam, could actually support the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after the prophets, whose level is next? As-Siddiqeen. And the companions are As-Siddiqeen. They were the ones who brought this deen to us. So what should we think about them? Should we value them? Should we have respect for them? For the carriers of the deen? Should we love them? Fasl. وَمِنْ أُصُولِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَمِنْ and from, among, the usul, the fundamentals, the principles of أهل السنة والجماعة, of the أهل السنة والجماعة. Meaning one of the fundamentals of the foundation of their creed is what? سَلَامَةُ قُلُوبِهِمْ, the safety of قُلُوبِهِمْ, of their hearts, وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, and their tongues. With respect to who? For who? Towards who? لِأَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, for the companions of the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Meaning the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, one of their foundation, one of their principles is, meaning the foundation of their creed, what is it? That their hearts and their tongues are safe for the companions. What does it mean by this? That their hearts and their tongues are safe for the companions. That in their hearts, they don't entertain anything evil for the companions, and from their tongues, they don't say anything evil for the companions. The companions are safe. Where? In the hearts of the believers and on the tongue of the believers. Who? Which believers? Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Ahlu Sunnah will not entertain anything evil, anything negative, neither in their hearts nor at their tongues, for the companions. radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. Now, the thing is that physically, no one can harm the companions today. Why? Because they have passed away, right? They're in their graves. And even if someone were to excavate their graves and try to harm their bodies, they cannot harm the companions. What matters is what we keep in our hearts for the companions and what we say with our mouths about the companions. So the Ahlul Sunnah, their hearts are safe. From what? From any hatred for the companions? Any rancor, any spite, any aversion against the companions? And at the same time, their tongues are also safe. From what? From saying that which the companions do not deserve. Saying that about the companions which they do not deserve. Such as any verbal abuse, or cursing the companions, or even accusing them of disobedience, or accusing them of disbelief, etc. Now, salama is what? Safety, meaning there's nothing evil over there. Nothing harmful and dangerous over there. But think about it, if there is a place that's just empty, nothing evil, is that good? No. After takhliya, there also has to be tahliya, adornment, right? So part of salama is also that in their hearts, the Ahlul Sunnah, what kind of feelings do they entertain, do they keep for the companions? Love, respect. So in their hearts, there's no evil for the companions. Then what should be in the heart for the companions? Love, respect. What kind of love and respect? In the manner that befits them, in the manner that they deserve. So the Ahlul Sunnah recognize the virtues of the companions. They love the companions. Why? Because to love the companions is to love the Prophet ﷺ. And to love the Prophet ﷺ is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the tongue? If there's no abuse on the tongue, then what should be on the tongue? Praise. But is that it? What about asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be even more pleased with them? To show even more mercy to them? To forgive them even more? To elevate their ranks even more? This is salama of the tongue. So the Ahlul Sunnah, salamatu qulubihim wa alsinatihim. Now check yourself. What do I feel for the companions? What do I say about the companions? Why does this matter? Why does this matter? Because the Sahaba, who were they? The best generation. The best generation. Did the Prophet ﷺ not say that خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, the best of people are my generation? He did. So when the Sahaba were the best generation, how can we hate them? How can we say something negative about them? We cannot. We have no right to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also told us that فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. What's the condition of being rightly guided? Following the way of the companions. Believing the way they believed. Likewise, the Sahaba, they are the link between the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the deen to who? The companions. But who passed it on? Who took it forward? The companions. So the rest of the ummah, where did they get the deen from? From who? The companions. They are the ones who took it forward. So they are the link between us and the Prophet ﷺ. This is why they matter to us. This is why we love them. This is why we praise them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them by giving them the suhbah of the Prophet ﷺ and by giving them success and conquests and victories in their lives. And then we see that the virtues of the Sahaba, the characteristics that they possessed, were such that are not found anywhere else. The qualities that they had, are they found anywhere else? Not at all. Just look at this one ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fath, ayah 29, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the companions. Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Those who are with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how are they? أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, severe against the enemy. And they are رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, merciful amongst themselves. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. You will see them doing ruku' and doing sujood, meaning praying, not just their 5 daily prayers, but more than that. Why? Seeking what? Allah's bounty. His pleasure. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. The athar of sujood is visible on their faces. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. And their example in Injil is like what? كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. That basically, a crop that has grown. So, the Sahaba were basically who? Those whom the Prophet ﷺ taught. They were trained by the Prophet ﷺ. So those who were trained by the Prophet ﷺ, what kind of virtues do you think they possessed? The best. What kind of qualities did they possess? The best. And this is the reason why Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said, radiallahu anhu, that Allah observed the hearts of the servants, of all people. And he found the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the best heart. And this is the reason why he chose him to be the last messenger. And then he observed the hearts of the servants. And then he found the hearts of the companions to be the best of hearts. And this is why he chose them to be the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is reported in Musnad Ahmad. Think about it. Amongst all of mankind, Allah chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the closest companion to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a reason. Umar radiallahu anhu to be the next. Ali radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu. All of these companions, they really were people with the best hearts. This is why Allah gave them this privilege. And this is the reason why we learned that just seeing the companions, people who got the opportunity to even see the companions, they were given a great fortune. This itself was a great privilege. In a hadith in a silsilatu sahiha, we learn, طُوبَ لِمَنْ رَآنِي وَطُوبَ لِمَنْ رَآ مَنْ رَآنِي. Good news for the one who saw me, and good news for the one who saw the one who saw me. Meaning seeing the companions, meeting them, is also a great privilege. They were a source of khair, a source of goodness for those present at their time and also for those who came afterwards. كَمَا وَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. كَمَا, just as, وَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah described them. بِهِ, with it, meaning the description that Allah has given of them. فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, in His statement, which statement? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, and those who came after them, meaning after the Sahaba. يَقُولُونَ, they say, رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, اغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive for us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا, and also our brothers. Which brothers? الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, those who preceded us in faith. Who became Muslim before us? All the Muslims who came before us, basically. And who was the first of them? The Sahaba. So, الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, first and foremost in this category is who? The companions. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And do not make in our hearts, O Allah, any ghil, any hatred for those who believe. And those who believe, who does that include? The Sahaba. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. O our Lord, indeed you are full of kindness, the most merciful. So this ayah is basically the proof. The proof for what? For the position of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah with respect to the companions. That why is it that we have to keep our hearts clean? And why is it that we have to keep our tongues clean also, safe, when it comes to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ? Because this is what we have been taught in the Qur'an. That, O Allah, do not allow any ghil, any hatred to take place in our heart. For who? For any of the believers. And believers, who does that include first and foremost? الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Who does that refer to first and foremost? The companions. And this ayah in Surah Al-Hashr, ayah 10, the ayat that precede this, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. The muhajirun are mentioned first, right? And how have they been described? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. That they're seeking the bounty of Allah and His pleasure. Meaning they're sincere. Their sincerity is mentioned. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And they help Allah and His Messenger. Their actions are mentioned. Their efforts are praised. So the Sahaba are those who were sincere in their faith, and Allah mentions their sincerity, and Allah mentions their efforts also. So when they're the ones who were sincere believers, then what should be our attitude towards them? Should we have any hatred towards them in our hearts? Should we say anything bad about them from our mouths? No. If a person were to do that, then who is he contradicting? What is he contradicting? The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Sahaba were those who, الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you think about it, amongst women, who was the first one to believe? Khadija radhiallahu anhu. Amongst men, Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu. Amongst children, Ali radhiallahu anhu. Amongst slaves, Zayd radhiallahu anhu. So, remember that this is a sign of iman. What is a sign of iman? A clean heart for the believers. Because remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that you cannot go to paradise until and unless you have faith, right? And you cannot have faith unless and until you love one another. So loving each other is a part of faith. It's a sign of faith. And first and foremost, loving who? The companions. Which believers? Loving the companions. Because they're the ones who believed first. So if they believe first, we love them. Not because they are our relatives, or because we are from their children, or because we will get some worldly benefit by loving them. No, we love them purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love them because of their iman. Because they are those who, الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Then, وَطَاعَةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي قَوْلِهِ. And obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect to his statement. Meaning, basically now the proof is being taken from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That why is it that we should keep our hearts and our tongues safe for the companions? Because A, this is what we're told in the Quran. And secondly, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do so as well. So when we will keep our hearts and tongues safe for the companions, we are in reality obeying who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he said, لَا تَسُبُّوا, do not verbally abuse أَصْحَابِي, my companions. Do not abuse them verbally. تَسُبُّوا is from sub, and sub is to basically find faults in someone, revile them. Alright? And this includes saying bad words to them, in front of them or behind them. If it's done behind their back, then it's backbiting. Right? So, لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي. Do not verbally abuse my companions. Do not curse them. فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ فَوَلَّذِي. So by the one who, نَفْسِي, my soul, بِيَدِهِ, in his hand. Meaning by the one in whose hand is my soul. Meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is swearing an oath. Even though he was truthful. Why did he swear an oath over here then? To emphasize the seriousness of what he was saying. That لو أن أحدكم, if even one of you, أنفق, he spent, مثل, equal to, أحد, Mount أحد, ذهبا, in gold, if one of you were to spend the equal of Mount أحد in gold, ما بلغ, he would not reach, مد, the مد of أحدهم, one of them. One of them, meaning one of the companions. وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ, nor its half. Don't curse the companions. Why? Because their status is much greater than yours. Why? Because if you were to spend even equivalent to Mount Uhud in gold, all of this gold, if you spent that in charity, imagine gold that is equal to Mount Uhud. How huge is Mount Uhud? It's huge. Imagine that in gold. And if a person were to spend that in the way of Allah, it would not be equivalent to the mud that the companions gave in the way of Allah. What is mud? Mud is basically, you know, when you join your two hands and what will fill your hands. This is what a mud is. And generally, mud is used for measuring food. So if the companions gave handful of food in the way of Allah, and you give Mount Uhud of gold in the way of Allah, there is no comparison. What the companions gave will be much, much superior. It will be much better compared to your charity. So in other words, you cannot reach their level. You cannot reach their level. The Prophet ﷺ, he said this when a fight broke out between Abdurrahman bin Auf and Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhum, both of them. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was someone who embraced Islam very early, and Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhum, he embraced Islam much later. So when this fight broke out, I mean, negative words were said to Abdurrahman bin Auf by Khalid bin Walid. Obviously that happens in a fight, right? So this is what was said to Khalid ibn Walid, who was also a companion, but he embraced Islam later. So imagine, if Khalid bin Walid was not allowed to say something negative to a companion who embraced Islam before him, who are we? What are we? What right do we have? What authority do we have? Our status would be much, much less. Because Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, still he is a Sahabi. So the Sahaba, the point is that the Sahaba, they have merits, they have virtues that others do not possess. It's as simple as that. Why? Because the sincerity of the companions of the Sahaba, it was tremendous. Their ittiba, the way they followed the Prophet ﷺ, was very, very firm. Imagine the hardships and the difficulties that they went through. They endured. So no one can reach their level. Because when they believed, there was no amazing, beautiful past that they could look at and get inspiration from. When we believe today, what do we look at? How amazing Islamic history has been, right? And for us, why should we not believe when the Quran is before us and the Sunnah is also before us and the amazing examples of the companions are there for us, right? And there are so many benefits. So why should we not believe? There is no excuse for us. In fact, if we did not believe, it would be much worse for us. But the companions, they believed at a time when it was extremely difficult. It meant giving up everything if you wanted to hold on to Islam. We think that practicing Islam is difficult today. It was more difficult at that time. Do we ever feel that if we are doing sajda in public, somebody will come and physically harass us? No. You can pray salah in the subway station. You can pray salah out on the road. You can pray salah in the mall. Maximum someone will do is just stand there and mock at you and take your pictures or something. That's it. But the companions, if they prayed in public, that basically meant what? That inviting trouble. So practicing Islam at that time was much more difficult. It required more sacrifice. You couldn't do it unless Islam was really a priority for you. So this is why, what do we learn? The merit, the virtue, the rank of the companions is exclusive to them. No one can reach it after them. فضل الصحابتي. And this is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from cursing the companions, right, or verbally abusing them. And remember that this prohibition implies tahrim. It is absolutely forbidden. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, لَا تَسُبُّ أَصْحَابَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Do not revile the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the stay of any one of them for a brief period with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning if one of them stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for even a little amount of time, that is better than all the good deeds that any one of you could do in his entire lifetime. If a companion spent just a few hours with the Prophet ﷺ, that is better than your whole life's worth of good deeds. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would say, this is what they did with the Prophet ﷺ. If they spent some time with the Prophet ﷺ, that is better than your good deeds of 40 years. Your good deeds of 40 years, it does not even match the few moments that they spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'id bin Zayd, he would say, وَلَوْ عُمِّرَ عُمْرَ نُوحٍ. Even if one of you were given the lifetime, the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam. Meaning even if you lived for 1,000 years and performed good deeds for 1,000 years, that would not be equal to the good that the companions did. The ranks that they reached. And this is the reason why we cannot talk negatively about the companions. Period. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُ. When my companions are mentioned, then stop right there. Meaning when they're mentioned in a negative way, then don't open your mouth over there. Don't carry that conversation on. Refrain. Refrain from talking negatively about my companions. In another hadith we learn, السلسلة الصحيحة, من سب أصحابي فعليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. That whoever curses my companions, reviles them, verbally abuses them, then on him is the curse of Allah, the curse of the companions, and the curse of all people. So this is a very serious matter. Then the next is فضل الصحابتي, the excellence of the companions. Meaning, all of them have a great position. As we have learned from the previous discussion, the ayah and the hadith, what do they prove? That all of the companions, their status is very high. So high that none of us could reach that status today. And this is true with respect to all of the companions. وَمَوْقِفُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ مِنْهُ. And the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning this matter, وَبَيَانُ تَفَاضُلِهِمْ. And the clarification, the mention of their tafadul. Tafadul of who? Of the companions. What does it mean by tafadul? That some were superior to others. Meaning they all have a great position, yet some are superior to others. And we have to acknowledge that. All of the Sahaba, excellent. But amongst them, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, his level is definitely higher than that of the rest of the companions. Those who participated in Badr, their position is greater than those who did not. Right? وَيَقْبَلُونَ, and they accept. Who accepts? The Ahlul Sunnah. They accept مَا جَاءَ بِهِ, what it has come with, what it has brought. What has brought? الْكِتَابُ, the book, meaning the Qur'an, وَالسُنَّةُ, and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, وَالْإِجْمَاعُ, and the Ijma, the consensus, with respect to what? Min fada'ilihim, with respect to their virtues. Whose virtues? The companions. Wa maratibihim, and their ranks. Whose ranks? Of the companions. Meaning, if the virtues, the ranks of the companions are mentioned in the Quran, what is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah towards those virtues? Of course they will accept them. If they're mentioned in the Sunnah, they will accept them. If the Sahaba or if the ulama, if they unanimously agreed upon those ranks of the companions, those virtues of the companions, those merits of the companions, then the Ahlul Sunnah will accept them. No conditions over there. Now, why? Why is this so? Because the Prophet ﷺ himself said that أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Place people in their appropriate positions. Meaning give them their due respect and honor given the position that they have. And each person has been given a particular status amongst the people who are around him. Right? So it is our duty to recognize and acknowledge that status, that position. And amongst believers, whose position is it that we must recognize? The companions. Right? We must recognize their position. So they have virtue, they have merit above the rest of the believers. Now, with respect to what? Fada'il maratib. Fada'il is a plural of fadila. And what is fadila? Something for which a person is considered superior to another. Like for example, if a person has money, more money compared to others, is that something because of which he's considered superior to the others? Yes. If he has knowledge, if he has accomplished a lot, right? So this is a fadila. And remember that fadila, it could be ascribed and it can also be acquired. Ascribed meaning this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. He was born with it. Born in a particular family, with a particular body, nature, disposition. This is all what? Given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? And then it can also be acquired, meaning something that a person acquires through his effort. He accomplishes in his lifetime through his own effort, obviously with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over here, we do not have any hasad. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave. Alright? So, the companions, do we learn about their fada'il in the Quran? Yes, we do. Like for example, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu is mentioned. Where? إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. When both were in the cave, Right? The second of the two, Thani Ithnain. So, this is mentioned in the Quran. Can we deny it? No way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu this fadila. Right? It's mentioned in the Quran, in the Sunnah. Do we learn about any fada'il of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Yes. Where? Think about an incident where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his superiority was shown. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill and he appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the Imam. Yes.
He also said that
if
I had a Khalil in this
world. Exactly. If I had a Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil. So much so that at one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was away in order to resolve a dispute of some people. And because he was not there, the Muaddin went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and requested him to lead the people in prayer. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began the prayer. And what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And he came, and he came forward in order to join the salah. Can you imagine? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to pray behind who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the people made so much noise, they kept clapping to get the attention of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that finally Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he looked back and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he moved back. So the sunnah, what does that prove also? The fada'il, the high merits, the high virtues of the companions. Then their maratib, their ranks. Meaning that they have certain ranks. One is superior to the other. So for example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his martaba, his rank, the highest amongst the companions. After him, Umar radiallahu anhu. After him, Uthman radiallahu anhu. After him, Ali radiallahu anhu. Right? So their maratib also. If we learn about these ranks from the sunnah, do we learn about this order from the sunnah? Yes. That so many times it was mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, I came and Abu Bakr and Umar were with me. First Abu Bakr, then Umar. Right? What does that show? That the martaba of Abu Bakr is higher than that of Umar radiallahu anhu. So if we learn about any of this from the Quran, from the sunnah, from the ijma' of the companions, or of the ulama, then what is the attitude of the Ahlu Sunnah? They accept it. They accept it. We have no problem accepting it. وَيُفَضِّلُونَ And they give preference to who? مَنْ أَنْفَقَ The one who spent, those who spent مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ Before the victory, before the conquest. Meaning those companions who spent in the way of Allah before the conquest, the Ahlu Sunnah do give preference to them over those who spent after the conquest. Those who embraced Islam after the conquest. Now what is this conquest? He says, وَهُوَ صُلْحُ الْحُدَيْبِيَةِ And it is the صُلْح of Hudaybiyah. The treaty of Hudaybiyah. Why is the treaty of Hudaybiyah called Fath? Because in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا Right? And that is what the companions considered Fath to be, because that is from where the door of victory opened up. Right? So, those who spent before the Sulh Hudaybiyah, waqatal, and also fought, meaning in the way of Allah, participated in battle, the Ahlu Sunnah will give them preference over who? Ala, over those who man anfaqa min ba'du waqatal. Over those who spent after Sulh Hudaybiyah, and also fought after Sulh Hudaybiyah. Now Sulh Hudaybiyah, when was it? In the sixth year after Hijrah. Now, before Sulh Hudaybiyah, were there any battles? Which ones? Badr and Uhud and Ahzab. Alright. After Sulh Hudaybiyah, were there any battles? After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, were there any battles? Yes, which ones? Khaybar, good, and Hunayn, and then also Tabuk. Now, just compare. Obviously, there were many more, but these were all the major ones. Badr, Uhud, Khandaq. And on the other hand, Khaybar, Hunayn, and Tabuk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He differentiated between the people who fought in Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, and those who fought afterwards in the other three battles. That those who participated in the first three, their rank is higher. Where do we learn this? In Surah Al-Hadid. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Those who fought and spent before the fath, they're not the same as those who came afterwards and participated in battle. Why? أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً. They have a greater rank. مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنفَقُوا مِن بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. Why? Consider Badr. How was it? Uhud. How was it? Khandaq. How was it? وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. On the other hand, Khaybar. How was it? It was easy. It was offensive, wasn't it? And these were what? Defensive. All right? And Khaybar, it was fought when there was a peace treaty in effect. No danger. From who? From the Quraysh. Think about Hunayn. How was that? So many people. So many arms. Correct? So much so that the Muslims thought they'll definitely be victorious. What about Tabuk? It was also difficult, but again, it was offensive. Now there's a huge difference. Those who participated in Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, I mean, they were there with the Prophet ﷺ at the most difficult time. When victory was nowhere to be seen. Every moment was a moment of hardship. And making that decision to be with the Prophet ﷺ was a very, very major decision. So this is the reason why the Ahlul Sunnah, they give preference to those companions who were with the Prophet ﷺ before Sulh Hudaybiyah. Alright? They put them on a higher rank. Higher pedestal. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done that in the Quran. وَيُقَدِّمُونَ. And they also give preference to, meaning they put first. Who? Al-Muhajirin. The immigrants. عَلَى الْأَنصَارِ. Over the Ansar. Over the helpers. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also kept this difference. He gave more priority to the Muhajirin. He gave them a higher rank. If you think about it, when the Muhajirin and the Ansar are mentioned together in the Quran, who's mentioned first always? Muhajirin. They're always mentioned first. Right? And if you think about it, the sacrifice of the Muhajirin, it was first. And it was also greater. Muhajirin, what did they do? What were their services? Islam. They embraced Islam. Then they did Hijrah. And then they also did Nusra. They also helped the deen. The Ansar, on the other hand, what did they do? They had Islam. And secondly, Nusra. Alright? But the Muhajirin, they had one extra thing. And what was that? Hijrah. So those with greater points will have a greater rank. وَيُقَدِّمُونَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ عَلَى الْأَنصَارِ. Now, the virtues of Muhajirin, do we learn about their virtues from the Sunnah? Of course we do. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is a hadith in a silsilatul sahiha, that majority of those to arrive at the Hawd will be the Muhajirin. They will be like the first ones to come in great numbers, the Muhajirin, at the Hawd. And the Prophet ﷺ described them. They are those who have disheveled hair, mud-stained clothes, meaning who are living in poverty. And they lived in this poverty in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. In a hadith we learned, which is also in As-Siltilatul Sahihah, that for the Muhajirin, there will be manabir, pillars of gold, on which they will sit on the Day of Judgment. And they will be kept safe from the fear of that day. So pillars of gold on which they will be seated. The Ansar also have some special virtues. In the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 74, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Those who believed, those who sheltered the believers who came to them, and who also supported the deen of Allah, they are the believers in truth. Allah testifies to their faith, to their iman. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ once stood on the minbar, and he said that, إِنَّ النَّاسَ دِثَارِ وَالْأَنصَارَ شِعَارِ. That the people, who are they? They're like my outer garment. And the Ansar, they're like my inner garment. Meaning very close to me. If you think about it, inner garment, why is it worn? For more protection. For more warmth. So the Ansar, they are my shi'ari. Like my inner garment. Those very close to me. The Prophet ﷺ, he continued in that hadith, that وَمَنْ أَفْزَعَهُمْ فَقَدْ أَفْزَعَ هَذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَ هَاتَيْنِ وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. that whoever puts them in fear, meaning the Ansar, threatens them, then it's as though he is threatening the one who is standing between these two pillars, meaning he was indicating to himself. Meaning if you hurt the Ansar, you are hurting me. You are hurting the Prophet ﷺ. Loving the Ansar is a sign of Iman. In a hadith in Bukhari we learn, none loves the Ansar but a believer, and none hates them but a hypocrite. So Allah will love him who loves them, and Allah will hate him who hates them. The Prophet ﷺ, on so many occasions, he made dua for the Ansar. Right? When he arrived in Medina, he was building the masjid. And at so many other occasions, what happened when the Muslims were in difficulty? The Prophet ﷺ made dua for the Ansar. Allahumma la khayra illa khayrul akhira. Faghfir lil Ansari wal Muhajira. Both the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Allahumma innal ajra ajrul akhira. Farham al Ansara wal Muhajira. Have mercy on the Ansar and the Muhajir. Wa yu'minuna bi anna Allaha. And they believe. Who believes? The Ahlus Sunnah believe. That بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ that indeed Allah قَالَ لِأَهْلِ بَدْرٍ He said to the people who were present at Badr. وَكَانُوا and they were 300 وَبِضْعَةَ عَشَرٍ and some 10, meaning a little over 300. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the people who were present at Badr? اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ The believers who were present over there, Allah said to them, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ Do whatever you wish. فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ For indeed, I have forgiven you. Do whatever, you are forgiven. So the Ahlus Sunnah believe that the rank of the people of Badr, the Muslims who were present at Badr, is the highest rank amongst the companions. And how many companions were there? Over 300. Because they are those people by whose hands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims. This was the first victory. Yawmul Badr is called what? Yawmul Furqan, criterion, because it showed the truth of Islam. In hadith we learned that Allah looked over the people of Badr. He looked at them and he said, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ Do whatever, you are forgiven. And this is the reason why the ulama, they say that this is proof that those who were present at Badr, their iman was safe. They were protected from kufr. And if they did make a mistake ever, any sin they committed, then they were forgiven for that. Remember the hadith where Jibreel came and asked the Prophet ﷺ, that what do you say about the Muslims who were present at Badr? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? They are the best of us. Min afdal al-muslimin. And Jibreel said that this is exactly what we say about the angels who were present at Badr, that they are the best of the angels. So the Muslims who were present at Badr, best of Muslims. وَبِأَنَّهُ Meaning, the Ahlus Sunnah also believe that indeed he لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ He will not enter hellfire. Who? أَحَدٌ Anyone. Anyone of who? بَايَعَ The one who gave pledge of allegiance. تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَ Under the tree. Which bay'ah is this? Bay'atul Ridwan. So anyone who was present at Bay'atul Ridwan, the Ahlus Sunnah believe that they will not enter the hellfire. Why? Because kama akhbara bihi an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed of this. Bal laqad radiya Allahu anhum. Rather, certainly Allah is pleased with them, waradu anhu, and they are pleased with him. And how many were they? وَكَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَلْفٍ وَأَرْبَمِعَةٍ And they were more than an elf. What is elf? 1,000. أَرْبَعَمِئَةٍ 400. So there were more than 1,400 companions who were present at Bay'atul Ridwan. When did this take place? When the Muslims went to perform Umrah in the 6th year. Because the Prophet ﷺ had a dream that they were going to perform Umrah. So the companions, they went with the intention to perform Umrah, but were they able to know? They were prevented. So what happened? Uthman radiallahu anhu was sent to Mecca in order to negotiate with the mushrikeen, with the Quraysh. However, news spread that Uthman radiallahu anhu had been killed. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was under the tree, and the companions, he called them, and they all pledged, they all gave him the bay'ah. You know, they placed their hand over the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they pledged that they would fight the Meccans. Why? Because they killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. Meaning the news had spread. It was false, but this news had spread. But they were willing to fight the Makkans, and they said that they would not flee. They would fight them to death, basically. Now remember that this was a big deal. Why? Because the Muslims had come to perform Umrah, not to participate in a battle. So what did they have with them? Armor? Weapons? No. When you go for Umrah, what do you have? Think about it, right? So in that state, they were willing and ready to fight the Makkans. How many were they, the Muslims? 1400. And how many mushrikeen were there in Makkah? Many more. Right? So this is why Bay'atul Ridwan was a big deal. And remember that Uthman radiallahu anhu was not there, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pledged with his hand on behalf of Uthman radiallahu anhu. In the Quran, what do we learn about this? لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Surah Al-Fatih, ayah 18. That certainly Allah is pleased with the believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ When they were giving you the pledge under the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ And Allah knew what was in their hearts. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ And Allah sent tranquility down on them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا And He gave them a near victory. So among those who participated in this bay'ah was who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, even though he was not there, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pledged on his behalf. Because had he been there, he would have definitely given him the pledge. And Ali radiallahu anhu. So the Ahlu Sunnah believe that none of those 1400 companions will enter hell. None of them will. In fact, in a hadith in Muslim, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل النار إن شاء الله من أصحاب الشجرة أحد. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam is referring to. كَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself informed us of this. He said that none of the people of the tree, the companions who were present, meaning who took that bay'ah under the tree, none of them, if Allah wills, will enter the fire. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself said. And Allah says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ If Allah is pleased with them, then can we be angry with them? No way. Who are we to be angry with them? And what does it even matter if we are angry with them and if we dislike them? When Allah is pleased with them, then they are successful. وَيَشْهَدُونَ And they testify بِالْجَنَّةِ For Jannah. Meaning they testify that they will definitely enter Jannah. Who will enter Jannah? لِمَن For those who شَهِدَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet ﷺ himself testified for. Meaning, if the Prophet ﷺ said about a certain companion that he will go to Jannah, then what do the Ahlu Sunnah say? That they will go to Jannah. Those companions will certainly go to Jannah. Because how can we contradict the statement of the Prophet ﷺ? You understand? So, who are those for whom the Prophet ﷺ said that they will go to Jannah? كَالْعَشَرَةِ Like the 10. Which 10? Al-Ashara Mubashara. Right? The 10 companions who were given the good news of paradise in their lives. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these 10 together at one occasion. And he said that they will be in Jannah. Who are these 10 companions? First of all, the 4 Khulafa. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum. And the 6 after them, who are they? Sa'id ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu. Then Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Then Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Then Zubayd bin Awam, Abu Ubaidah, Amir bin Jarrah. And the 6 companions after the 4 Khulafa Rashidin, they're mentioned together in a poem. Somebody made a poem and mentioned all of their names. Sa'idun wa Sa'dun wa ibn Awfin wa Talha. وَعَامِرُ فِهْرٍ وَالزُّبَيْرُ الْمُمَدَّحِ Okay? So, سَعِيدٌ meaning سَعِيد bin Zayd وَسَعْدٌ meaning سَعْد bin Abi Waqqas وَابْنُ عَوْفٍ عبد الرحمن bin عوف وَطَلْحَ طَلْحَ bin عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَامِرُ فِهْرٍ meaning Abu Ubaidah عَامِر because Abu Ubaidah عَامِر عَامِر was his name Abu Ubaidah was his kunya Abu Ubaidah Amir bin Jarrah. So, وعامر فهرن والزبير زبير بن عوام رضي الله عنه الممدح meaning all of them are commendable. All of them are praiseworthy. Now, where are they mentioned together? Meaning, when did the Prophet ﷺ say that all these 10 will go to Jannah. There is a hadith, which is in Abu Dawood, in which we learn that once a man mentioned Ali radiallahu anhu in the masjid, in a negative sense. So Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he stood up and he said, أَشْهَدُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِّي سَمِعْتُهُ. I testify, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I heard him saying, وَهُوَ يَقُولُ, he was saying that عَشْرَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, 10 people will be in Jannah. And who are those 10 people? He said, أَبُو بَكْرٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعُمَرْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعُثْمَانْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعَلِيٌّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَطَلْحَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالزُّبَيْرُ بْنُ عَوَّامٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَعْدُ بْنُ مَالِكٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنُ عَوْفٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And he did not mention the 10th one. So people kept asking him, who is it? Who is it? And then somebody said, Sa'id bin Zayd. He himself. So from this hadith, what do we learn? That all of these 10 companions, the Prophet ﷺ gave them the good news of being in Jannah. But this good news was not just limited to them. وَثَابِتْ ibn Qais ibn Shammas. Also Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas. The Prophet ﷺ said to him also that he will be from the people of paradise. Do you remember who Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu was? He was the one who had a very loud voice. When he spoke, or generally also when he spoke, his voice was very, very loud. So when the ayah was revealed that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضِ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ lest your deeds be wasted. So Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu was afraid. And he just hid himself in his house. And he did not come to the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ noticed that he was not there. So he sent someone to check on him. That what's the matter? So when that man came, Thabit said that my deeds are ruined. I am from the people of hell. Because my deeds are wasted. When the Prophet ﷺ was told about this, he said, go back to him and tell him, you are not from the people of the fire. Rather, you are from the people of paradise. And this is in Bukhari. So Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas, وَغَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ, and also others besides them from among the companions. Like who? Who else was given the good news of Jannah? Thinking about the Prophet ﷺ, who was close to them? The wives of the Prophet ﷺ. أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, first and foremost, right? Because they were all women who believed in him and they were given the choice, remember? إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. Right? فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ. Right? That I will give you and I will let you go. صَرَاحٌ جَمِيلًا. But if you wish the home of the hereafter, right? Then what did the Sahabiyya choose? The أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They chose the Prophet ﷺ. All of the wives. Right? So, they were given good news of Jannah. Who else? بِلَالَ رَضِلَهُ عَنْهُ. Remember that hadith in which we learned that the Prophet ﷺ said, I was shown Jannah and I heard a rustling sound in front of me. And it was Bilal. Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu. Sa'd bin Waqas said that I did not hear the Prophet ﷺ saying about anyone walking on the surface of the earth that he is from the people of paradise, except Abdullah ibn Salam. That when he was alive, the Prophet ﷺ said that he was from the people of paradise. Ukasha radiallahu anhu. When? Remember when the Prophet ﷺ said that 70,000 of my ummah will go to Jannah without hisab. Ukasha radiallahu anhu said that, make dua that I am one of them. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that he will be of them. Without hisab, he will enter Jannah. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Once a silk garment was brought to the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba began to touch it and they began to admire, you know, its softness. And the Prophet ﷺ said, do you marvel at this? The handkerchiefs of Sa'd bin Mu'adh in Jannah are better and more delicate than this. So, there were many companions about whom the Prophet ﷺ said directly that they will be from the people of paradise. So, if the Prophet ﷺ said they will be from the people of paradise, what is the position of the Ahlu Sunnah? That they will be from the people of paradise. وَيَشْهَدُونَ بِالْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ شَهِدَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَيُقِرُّونَ. And they acknowledge. From iqrar, what is iqrar? To acknowledge. وَيُقِرُّونَ, they acknowledge, bima, with that which, تَوَاتَرَ بِهِ النَّقْلُ. What is an-naql? Narration. So when something is reported. So tawatara, bihin naqlu. What is tawatara? When something is reported many, many times. Right? There's numerous narrations. So what is reported in tawatur form عن أمير المؤمنين, from أمير المؤمنين, the leader of the believers, who Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه is the one who reported this. But not just him, وغيره, and also others besides him. And this narration is in tawatur form. So the Ahlu Sunnah acknowledge this narration. And what is that? من أن خير هذه الأمة, that indeed the best of this nation, بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا, after its prophet, is who? Abu Bakr. The best man from this ummah, after the Prophet ﷺ, is who? Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. ثُمَّ عُمَرُ, then Umar radhiyallahu anhu. وَيُثَلِّثُونَ بِعُثْمَانَ, and then they make Uthman radhiyallahu anhu third in position, in rank. وَيُرَبِّعُونَ, and they put fourth, meaning in the fourth position, who? بِعَلِيٍ radhiyallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu. كَمَا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْآثَارِ, just as the various narrations indicate. So the Ahlu Sunnah acknowledge this. What? That the best man of this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ is Abu Bakr, followed by Umar, followed by Uthman, followed by Ali. This is the order. And this is something that has been reported by the companions. This was not something that the people said later on. In fact, this was the understanding of the companions. Because Ali radiallahu anhu himself said this. Ali radiallahu anhu himself narrated this. In Ibn Majah, there's a report in which Ali radiallahu anhu said that خَيْرُ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Abu Bakrin. He himself said that the best man after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is who? Abu Bakr. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ بِبَكْرٍ Umar. And the best of people after Abu Bakr is Umar radiallahu anhu. So, this is something that the companions also said, Ali radiallahu anhu being amongst them. Alright? This was the understanding of the companions, and this was the ijma' of the scholars also. Imam Malik, he said, I never saw anyone doubting the preference of the two of them. Which two? Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Shafi'i said that the companions and the tabi'een did not differ regarding giving preference to Abu Bakr and Umar. Meaning this was something understood. And if someone opposes this consensus, then what is he doing? He is following sabil غير المؤمنين. He is following the way of other than the believers. وَكَمَا أَجْمَعَ الصَّحَابَةُ, and just as the Sahaba unanimously agreed, عَلَى تَقْدِيمِ عُثْمَانَ, over preferring Uthman fil bay'ah, in giving the pledge. Which pledge? Of khilafah. Meaning after Umar radiallahu anhu, when the question came that who should be the Khalifa, they had many options. But the Sahaba unanimously agreed that who should be the Khalifa, who did they give bay'ah to? Uthman radiallahu anhu. مَعَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ, and though there are some from the Ahlu Sunnah, كَانُوا, they used to, قَدْ اِخْتَلَفُوا فِي, they used to differ concerning Uthman وَعَلِيٍ radiallahu anhuma. They differed with respect to Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma. Meaning, some said that the rank of Ali radiallahu anhu is higher than that of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And others said that no, the rank of Uthman radiallahu anhu is higher than that of Ali radiallahu anhu. There was some difference amongst the Ahlu Sunnah as well. However, بَعْدَ after اتِّفَاقِهِمْ, their agreement, عَلَى over تَقْدِيمِ, preference, giving preference to Abi Bakrin wa Umar. Meaning, the Ahlu Sunnah unanimously agreed that Abu Bakr and Umar, their rank is definitely the highest amongst the Ummah. Alright? Now, after them, who is it? Is it Uthman radhiyallahu anhu or is it Ali radhiyallahu anhu? Ayyuhuma afdal? Which of them is more superior? There was difference amongst the Ahlu Sunnah. Some preferred Uthman radhiyallahu anhu and others preferred Ali radhiyallahu anhu. فَقَدَّمَ قَوْمٌ Uthman. So some people, they gave preference to Uthman. They said he is third. وَسَكَتُ, and they adopted silence, meaning with respect to the fourth position. Meaning they just stopped after Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. And others, وَرَبَّعُوا بِعَلِيٍ, they said that no, Uthman is third and fourth is Ali radhiyallahu anhu. Some Ahlul Sunnah, what did they do? They said, it's just Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. That's it. Stop right there. Don't say anything. Others, they said, no, it's Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then Ali, radiallahu anhu. وَقَدَّمَ قَوْمٌ عَلِيًّا And some people, they gave preference to Ali, radiallahu anhu. Meaning they said, it's Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, and then Uthman, radiallahu anhu. وَقَوْمٌ While some people, تَوَقَّفُوا They just stopped completely. They said, Abu Bakr, Umar, and then we just stopped. We won't say, Ali is third or Uthman is third. You understand? So basically, four views came about. One view was Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. This is the order. Another view was, the second view was Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, silence. Alright? Third view was Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman. Meaning Ali is third, Uthman is a fourth position. The fourth view was Abu Bakr and Umar, and that's it. Just be silent. Don't say anything now. لكن but استقرّ أمر أهل السنة. What settled, meaning the matter that settled, what they eventually agreed upon, what took position, what became firm near the Ahlu Sunnah, was what? Which position? على تقديم عثمان ثم علي. Over preferring Uthman and then Ali. So in other words, there are differences. There were differences. All right, some preferred Ali and others preferred Uthman. However, at the end, what was it that the majority agreed upon? Uthman radiallahu anhu being the third in rank, and then Ali radiallahu anhu. Now you might say, what's the big deal? They were all companions. We respect all of them. Does this order really matter even? The thing is that there's a lot of history to this. A lot of politics involved over here. All right? There were people who claimed that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should never have been the Khalifa. Ali radiallahu anhu was the one who was most deserving. So they took the right of Khilafah from Ali radiallahu anhu by force. And then the same thing happened when Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. And the same thing happened when Uthman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. Alright? And some people, what they said, that no, Abu Bakr, Umar, okay, but Uthman radiallahu anhu should not have been the Khalifa. It should have been Ali radiallahu anhu. The point is that, I mean, does it make any difference in saying it should not have been like this and it should have been like that? No. But in order to justify that Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the Khalifa, what happened? They went to an extreme. Such an extreme in which they started accusing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, false accusations. Right? To the point that they even did their takfir. That Abu Bakr, Umar, they left the folds of Islam. They were not Muslim. So, remember like I said earlier that in this book, what is being clarified? The matters which people differed over. From where divisions began in the Ummah. So this is also something that created a lot of division. So this is the reason why this point is being clarified. That if you even observe the understanding of the companions, what was it? Abu Bakr first, Umar next, then Uthman, and then Ali. And if you think about it, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, who were they in relation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Both of them were sons-in-law, right? Now, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he got two daughters, one after the other. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he got Fatima radiallahu anha, right? The one who was very, very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to that, he was also related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if you think about it, both of them had merits. They had fada'il. And you cannot deny either one of them. You have to acknowledge both of them. But if you logically analyze this, that why is it that Uthman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa? Remember that we cannot say that Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the first Khalifa. Or that he should have been the Khalifa instead of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Why? Because after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do you think had the most right to become the Khalifa? The one who was the best of the people. Right? The one who had most superiority amongst the people of that time. And remember that as people are, that is how their leaders are. Correct? The way a nation is, that is exactly how their leader is. So if the generation was the best generation, then their leader should have been the best leader also. This is not Amr Shari'i, this is Amr Qadri, Kauni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only appoint what kind of leader of a people? The one who best represents them. All right? So if the generation was the best generation, then whoever was allowed to become the leader was really the best of them. And who was it? Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. Then who was it? Umar radhiyallahu anhu. Then who was it? Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. Then who was it? Ali radhiyallahu anhu. And if we say, no, this should not have been the case, then whose decision are we objecting? Allah's decision. All right? Because the leader best represents the nation. After Ali radhiyallahu anhu, what happened? The generation did not remain the best generation. Because the population of the Sahaba, it decreased. Many of them passed away. All right? Many of them passed away. And many people who were Muslim at that time, they never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of them did not even meet Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. All right? So this is the reason why the Ahlus Sunnah believe that taqdeemi Uthman, summa Ali. All right? حُكْمُ تَقْدِيمِ عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The ruling concerning preferring Ali رضي الله عنه على غيره, over other than him. من الخلفاء الأربعة, amongst the four خلفاء. في الخلافة, with respect to the خلافة. Meaning, should we give preference to Ali رضي الله عنه when it comes to خلافة? Should he have been the first خليفة? No. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. He clarifies that even though this issue, which issue? مسألة عثمان وعلي. The issue concerning Uthman and Ali, that who should be at the third position and who should be at the fourth. He says, لَيْسَتْ, it is not, مِنَ الْأُصُولِ, from the fundamentals, أَلَّتِي, which, يُضَلَّلُ, he is considered misguided. Who is considered misguided? الْمُخَالِفُ فِيهَا, the one who opposes concerning this matter. عِنْدَ نِيرْ, جَمْهُورِ, majority of أَهْلِ Sunnah. Of the Ahlus Sunnah, meaning majority of the Ahlus Sunnah. What do they say concerning this issue of who should be in the third rank and who should be in the fourth rank? What is the position of the majority of the Ahlus Sunnah? That this is important, however, it is not so important that if a person disagrees with us on this matter, then he is no longer rightly guided. That if a person says that Uthman radhiyallahu anhu should be fourth in rank and Ali radhiyallahu anhu should be third, then the Ahlus Sunnah would consider such a person to be misguided. No. Meaning, it's an opinion. You can have a different opinion, but it is not a matter over which people should be considered guided or misguided. You understand? However, what extreme have people gone to today? That it's not about guidance, misguidance, it's about iman and kufr. It's about life and death. That if someone gives preference to Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, their life will be in danger. Right? Or if someone says that Ali radhiyallahu anhu is, you know, fourth in rank, then he is considered very, very disrespectful towards the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he clarifies that this issue, although it is important, but it is not of the usul التي يضلل المخالف فيها عند جمهور أهل السنة. لكن but المسألة, the issue التي which يضلل فيها, he will be considered misguided, is which issue? Mas'alatul khilafa, the issue of khilafa. Meaning when it comes to the merits, fada'il, there is room for argument over there. You could say, Ali was third, Uthman was fourth. But when it comes to khilafa, you cannot say, Uthman should not have been the khalifa. Why? Because the companions chose him. And if you say that the companions made a wrong decision, they were being unfair to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, they were being unjust, then this is accusing all of the companions. You understand? When it comes to the issue of khilafa, we cannot say, oh, the companions were unfair in appointing Uthman radhiyallahu anhu as a third khalifa. We cannot say that. Because we are objecting whose decision? The companions. We are saying that they were at fault. Right? But the thing is that yes, people can be at fault. However, these are the companions, and companions unanimously agreeing upon something. Then how can we say that they made a wrong decision? وَذَلِكَ, and that is, that أَنَّهُمْ, indeed they, يُؤْمِنُونَ, they believe, أَنَّ الْخَلِيفَةَ, that indeed the Khalifa بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, was who? Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr. ثُمَّ عُمَر, ثُمَّ عُثْمَان. Then عُمَر, then عُثْمَان. ثُمَّ عَلَيٌّ, then Ali. وَمَنْ طَعَنَ, and whoever criticizes فِي خِلَافَةِ أَحَدٍ, concerning the khilafah of anyone مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةِ, any one of these leaders, meaning these four leaders, these four khulafa, anyone who criticizes this, that Abu Bakr should not have been the khalifa, Umar should have not been the khalifa, a person who criticizes this, Ibn Taymiyyah says, فَهُوَ then that person is, he is, أَضَلُّ more astray, مِنْ حِمَارِ أَهْلِ than the donkey of his family. Why is such a harsh statement? Imam Ahmad is the one who originally said the statement concerning people who object at the khulafa, that they should not have been the khulafa. Why would he be more astray than the donkey of his family? Because if you think about it, a donkey, what is it? What does it represent? Foolishness, lack of understanding. All right? And this is something that represents lack of understanding. What? That a person says, the companions were wrong in choosing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The companions were wrong in choosing Umar radiallahu anhu. If you think about it, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as a khalifa, did he accomplish something? Of course. Umar radiallahu anhu as a khalifa, did he accomplish something? A lot. What about Uthman radiallahu anhu? Of course. What about Ali radiallahu anhu? Of course. All of them were great khulafa. So this is why it is obligatory to believe that the khilafah after the Prophet ﷺ was Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. And there was no injustice over here. Because those who disagree with this are those who say that the Sahaba were unjust. They were being unfair. And in proving this, they have fabricated many stories, many lies, all right, to show that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was being unfair. But the fact of the matter is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he has been a very high position. Like for example, he's mentioned in the Quran, one of the two. Likewise in Bukhari, we learn that once the Prophet ﷺ, he gave a sermon and he said, Allah gave a choice to one of his slaves, either to choose this world or what is with him in the hereafter. And that slave has chosen the hereafter. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he began crying. So the Sahabi who was narrating this, he said that, why is this old man crying? If Allah gave choice to one of his slaves, either to choose this world or what is with him in the hereafter, and he chose the latter, what's the big deal? Why is Abu Bakr crying? But then later he understood that that slave was who? The Prophet ﷺ himself. And Abu Bakr knew more than us. This is what Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said. Abu Bakr knew more than us. No one understood what the Prophet ﷺ meant in that gathering. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Abu Bakr, don't weep, don't cry. And he said, Abu Bakr has favored me much with his property and company. If I were to take a Khalil from mankind, I would certainly have taken Abu Bakr. But the ukhuwah and friendship is sufficient. And the Prophet ﷺ said, close all the gates in the mosque except that of Abu Bakr. So he had a high position. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet ﷺ in his last illness asked me to call Abu Bakr and also her brother so that he could order them to write a document that who should be the leader. For he feared that someone else might be desirous of succeeding him and that someone would make a claim that I am more deserving. So the Prophet ﷺ expressed his wish before Aisha radiallahu anha that I would like this instruction to be written down so people have a proof that Abu Bakr should be the leader. Once a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ asking him about something, and the Prophet ﷺ told her, come back later. She said, what if I don't find you? He said, if you don't find me, then go to Abu Bakr. What does that indicate? That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was supposed to be the Khalifa. Right? Likewise, Umar radiallahu anhu, even he has many virtues. In a hadith in Bukhari, we learn that once the Prophet ﷺ was asked that, who amongst people is most beloved to you? And he said, Aisha radiallahu anha. He said that, no, but amongst the men. The Prophet ﷺ said, her father. He said, then who? He said, Umar. So after Abu Bakr, who was next? Umar radiallahu anhu. In a hadith in al-Tirmidhi, we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌّ لَكَانَ عُمَرْ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ. If there was a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. In a hadith in al-Silsilatul Sahiha, the Prophet ﷺ said, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي مِنْ أَصْحَابِ أَبِي بَكْرْ وَعُمَرْ. Follow those people who come after me among my companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. So we see that Umar radiallahu anhu always mentioned after Abu Bakr. There is a beautiful hadith in Muslim in which we learn Ibn Abbas said that when Umar radiallahu anhu was placed in his coffin, basically when he was martyred, and you know, janazah was prepared and people came you know, to see him. They were praising him and making dua for him. And Ibn Abbas said, I was amongst them. And then something attracted my attention. And what was that? A person who gripped my shoulder from behind me. And who was that? Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was holding Ibn Abbas's shoulder and he was invoking Allah's mercy upon Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said, O Umar, you have left none behind you whose deeds are so enviable that I love to meet Allah with them. By Allah, I hoped that Allah would keep you and your two associates together. I had often heard Allah's messenger as saying, I came and there came too Abu Bakr and Umar. I entered and there entered as well Abu Bakr and Umar. I went out and there went out too with me Abu Bakr and Umar. So, Ali radiallahu anhu, what is he saying? Praising Umar radiallahu anhu, and he is basically calling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr his two companions. Right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua for Umar radiallahu anhu. In hadithina siltratu sahiha, we learn, Allahumma a'izzal islama bi Umar ibn al-Khattab khassatan. O Allah, honor Islam. Bring victory to Islam through Umar bin Khattab especially. So the rank of Umar radiallahu anhu is indeed very high. And then after him, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he also has a very high position. In Abu Dawood, we learn hadith that Ibn Umar, he said that we used to say in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that afdalu ummatin nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam ba'dahu Abu Bakrin, thumma Umar, thumma Uthman. We used to say this in his lifetime, that the best people after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went onto Mount Uhud, and with him were companions, and Mount Uhud, it shook. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uthbut Uhud, fa innama alayka nabiyyun wa siddiq wa shahidan. Stay in your place, O Uhud, because on you is a prophet, a siddiq, meaning Abu Bakr, and shahidan, two shahids. And who are they? One of them was Uthman radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Uthman, inna Allah azza wa jalla la'allahu an yuqammisaka qamisan. That Allah will give you a qamis, meaning a noble position. فَإِنْ أَرَادُوكَ عَلَى خَلْعِهِ If the people intend to pull it away from you, فَلَا تَخْلَعْهُ Don't take it off. Don't let them take it away from you. This is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad. So all of these, what do they indicate? The virtues of all of these companions, in order, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhu also. He was someone who was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember the incident of Khaybar? A man will come whom Allah loves, and his messenger also loves, and he also loves Allah and his messenger. And who came? Ali radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "La yuhibbuka illa mu'min." None will love you except a believer. He said, "Man adha Aliyan faqad adhani." Whoever hurts Ali has in fact hurt me. So all of the companions, what is the summary of what we have learned today? All of the companions have a very high position, a very high status, great virtues, great merits that can be achieved by no one after them. Right? However, some of them do have special traits that others don't have. A special rank that others amongst them did not have. There is tafadul between the companions, just as there is tafadul between the prophets of Allah. Alright? And between the companions, who is of the first highest rank? Abu Bakr. Then Umar. Then Uthman. Then Ali radiallahu anhu. Now what about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inshallah, that is what we will study next. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته